Well, hello, beautifuls, and welcome to the Psychic Therapist Show, where we explore everyday life and answer your questions using both psychology and spirit. You know, about 8 years ago, I had the honor of working with a woman client who was just about ready to gear up and start trying to heal issues with her mother, who had a very difficult personality. Some of you may be able to relate. And she was working up the courage to go home and to her, you know, family of origin home and talk with her mother about these things. And the day she was flying there, her mother died quite suddenly and unexpectedly. And so the next week when I saw her, you can imagine the shape she was in with the grief of that, and plus a lot of guilt about, you know, I was saying all these bad things about her, and now I'm never going to have a chance to heal this, and on and on. And as I was listening to this, as clear as I was seeing this client, next to her was this older woman and who was smiling at me, and I started describing her to the client, and sure enough, it was her mother. And that day changed a lot of lives, clearly theirs and certainly my own, and how I saw things. I saw that in being able to act as the conduit or the telephone for spirit, there was more healing that happened in that room than there ever could have been in 10 years of therapy. And at the close of when her mom was about to really go back into the ether, she held out her hand, and in her hand was a piece of very distinctive jewelry. It was a cameo, and I remember it clearly because it was a little unusual in that the background of it was pink instead of brown. And as I described this to the client, she was pretty upset and crying because she said, you know, I cleared out my mom's stuff this weekend, and I'm pretty sure I threw that out by mistake. I had it in a bag, and I can't find it anywhere. And, you know, her mom was saying, I really want her to give it to her daughter on her wedding day. And, you know, she was saying, I know it's gone. I've been through the suitcase. And I said, well, your mom's saying that it isn't lost. It'll turn up. So the next day I got a phone call, and the client, it was really kind of sweet. When she went home that night, she said, well, Mom, you know, she said, I figured if you could talk to her, maybe I could too. She said, Mom, you know, if you really want me to give that to my girl on her wedding day, you got to help me out here. And she heard very, very clearly to go look in the bottom drawer of a dresser in the guest room, which the client thought was very strange because she hadn't been in that room in ages. And the bottom drawer was where she put her daughter's drawings from school. She said, but, you know, I listened, and I went in there, and I opened it, and under the drawings, there was the cameo. You know, our left brain, we just can't explain things like that. And it really hit me, this, how specific it was, not only the healing, but that. I developed a great respect for people who really use that gift of mediumship that day, and a great respect for how the veils are really thin between the worlds, and that how much healing can happen and how love is eternal. I'm Evie Kane, a lifelong psychic and clinical psychotherapist, and if you want to know more about me, you can find me at eviekane.com. That's eviekane.com. Now, this client was grieving the loss and death of a parent, and which is, as anyone knows, a tremendous grieving process and loss and something to go through. And I would say that, you know, though I don't want to really compare things, but to grieve the loss of a child is so difficult. I mean, it goes against our whole natural order of things where we feel like we'll be the ones that go first. And having worked with parents over the years, I know that that's just an incredible process for them to go through and can take years. And today, boy, am I honored to have two absolutely amazing guests who have gone through this and even in their grief are able to give such messages of hope and inspiration and laughter to people. And in a moment, I'm going to bring them on, but I'd like you to hear a little bit about them. They are Dr. Martin Jordan and his wonderful wife, Connie. And Dr. Martin was born in Ireland and has all the enchantment that goes with that heritage. He's a gifted, very gifted psychic and medium, well-known, as well as a hypnotherapist and coach. And true to his heritage, he's a gifted songwriter and musician as well. Connie is also a gifted psychic and a metaphysical comedian, which she tells people means that that her husband Martin sees the dearly departed and Connie gets to make fun of them. So today we're going to hear from them and their beloved son Andrew, who passed away in 2007 at the age of 16 years old from leukemia. This led to their amazing book called No Regrets, which chronicles this journey. And I can say that no matter what the topic is, time spent with Connie and Martin is always inspirational, healing, and fun. So let's give a warm welcome to Connie and Martin. Jordan, are you with us?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are, Evie.
Hello,
I'm very happy to be.
Martin and Connie. Welcome. So happy to hear from you today and to have you here. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us. And Martin, I got to dig in here with something. There's something about you I never knew. I've heard you were back in the day that you started out as a research chemist, and that blew my mind. I thought,
absolutely,
how did a kind of, you know, doesn't get much more left brain than that. How did that come about, that transition to, I would say this is kind of a different field of work, to go from that into the world of metaphysics and being a medium. Can you tell me a little about that?
Yes, well, I found out as I was doing that there is very, very little difference between science and what goes on the other side. We spend years trying to describe it using physics, quantum physics, and that was mainly what I was into, was the physical aspect of us and who we are. But when you start seeing things that to most people aren't there, after a while, you've just got to say, wait a minute. You know, what's this all about? I know I'm seeing it, but I can't explain it with my science, but I can actually see it. So I just sort of...
Well, what's funny is that Martin, when I told him that I went to a psychic, and this is in June of 87, because everybody had been to a psychic but me, and so I went to the psychic, and Martin said, you crazy Yanks. He didn't believe in psychics. He thought I was nuts. And then when he met her, when he came here in 1988, because she told me I had till March of 88 to see Martin, because I hadn't seen him since I was 14, or it would be another 14 years. So I left February 29th, 1988. And when he met her, she knocked his socks off, because she knew things that there was no way. So
there's just no way, like we say. We say the rest is history. And, you know, it's interesting what we're talking about, because it seems like finally science is really beginning to catch up.
Yes.
Isn't it that they're now starting to be able to measure and see things that they couldn't before? And how long have you guys been married?
We've been married coming up on 23 years this year.
I knew that.
Yeah, you knew that.
Congratulations. Yeah, you knew that. You're psychic. And I know that you have a daughter, and you just had a grandchild, and your beloved son, Andrew. And I thought maybe we could start to talk with, I know that his nickname was Muck in the Irish tradition about mucking about, and he was a very special being. And even though you're so lighthearted and full of light and laughter and wonderful, to lose a child and go through all that grief is... You know, my heart goes out to you, and I'd, I know that it was quite a journey for you. Can you tell us a bit about that? Because I know everything was such a surprise at the age of 16 there, but you knew he was pretty special before that.
We did. We started to see, when he was younger, we saw that he was speaking, you know, he would be talking to something behind us, you know, even when he was very young and we didn't understand what he was saying, and we'd hear him laughing in the middle of the night like somebody was in there playing with him. And as he got older, just the profound things that he would say was really catching our attention. And we started homeschooling him at 9 because he had a mild form of Tourette's. And they were saying he was learning disabled and all that. You know, they tried to label him ADD, ADHD, talking medication. And that's another reason why I wanted to write the book, is because, you know, so many parents think that the school system may know better. And, you know,
right,
I wanted to,
right,
you know, and have them see their child in Andrew. And so as he got older, I mean, we just became so in awe of him. And
could you give us a little example of that when you're talking about the awe of some of the things he would say?
Well, like at 10 years old, he asked me, you know, to guess what was the greatest gift he ever got at 10. And I'm thinking, you know, what did I buy him? What was that? You know, I'm trying, going through my Rolodex in my head, going, what did I last buy him? You know, what was the biggest reaction? And I just couldn't think of anything. I go, no, honey, what? He goes, my life.
Hmm.
I was just stunned. I mean, a 10-year-old.
You were stunned.
And the greatest gift he got.
Yeah, that's like the, it's like a like you're talking to a Zen master, you know.
Yeah.
And I understand that, you know, that he was just the happiest being always. You know, from from the get go.
Mm-hmm. I have actually. I'm hoping that we can find the videotape we have of him when he was a baby, and I would open his door, and he would be jumping up and down laughing. And, you know, and this is
wow.
Like when he's under a year old, you know, as soon as he could stand up in his crib. And even in the hospital, it was, because when this happened to him, it was very much out of the blue the week before.
Let's move into talking about that. It was very quick, I know, and really out of the blue, unexpected. It was a very short process, right, when he was 16?
Yes.
Why don't we go to that, if you're up for that?
Sure. He was... it was 4th of July. He was out with his friend, you know, throwing firecrackers at each other. And that was on a Wednesday. And then Friday he was tired. And I said, well, he'd been out in the sun, and we live in Florida, so I figured heat exhaustion. And then by the following Wednesday, because he had had a fever and a sore throat, so I said, okay, it's not going away. Let's go get you to a clinic. And he hadn't been to the doctor since he was 4. And so we had to take him to the ER. The clinic couldn't handle it, and that's where he was diagnosed with leukemia. And we thought it was strep throat. And they had to take him by ambulance to All Children's Hospital in Clearwater. I mean, you talk about, I mean, I just, it was unbelievable to me. And, you know, this is another thing, you know, we didn't lie to Andrew because I thought, oh, my God, you know, they're coming for him in an ambulance. What do we tell him? And so we were honest. And all we said was he was diagnosed with leukemia, and he's just producing too many white cells, and it's hurting the good ones. He goes, oh, okay. And in the ambulance, he told Martin, he goes, well, at least it's nothing too serious, Daddy. So we just gave him information very simply, and like we never mentioned the word cancer. I didn't even know it was a blood cancer. I knew it was serious, but I didn't even know that it was a blood cancer. So we never mentioned that word around
him. That's like the horror and the shock of it. And then I know within 4 months he was gone. And let's start to talk about that amazing journey in that 4 months with the, you know, some of the things that you've shared with me about how he went through this and the things he would say that were just so stunningly wise and beautiful and zen. So, Martin, is there anything in particular you'd like to share from that period?
Well, the 4 months, my job was to make sure that the doctors were doing what they were supposed to be doing. That's where my chemistry degree kicked in. And Connie's job was to sort of be the mommy and sort of be there for him and that kind of thing. So I just got the whole scientific, I took the scientific
So you did the male thing, which you got in there to try and take care of everything that could be done medically,
right,
scientifically, etc.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we make the right decisions, then everything will turn out right. And Connie's been, for the most part, working on Andrew's as I did, too, but Connie, for the most part, working on keeping his spirits up, which turned out to be the other way around. you know, we'd try to tell him something to keep his spirits up, and then he'd take us to school because that was his favorite thing to do.
Take him. He would take you to school.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, take us to school. We'd be trying to sort of give him our accumulated adult advice, and then he'd say something.
Yeah.
And we'd be like, oh, wow.
Yeah, you're way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, you won that one, you know. And
yeah.
I think that's how we spent the 4 months, was really sort of learning from each other. And
right.
And going down that road with it.
Well, like
right.
He told me, like this, the story when he, you know, because he was getting chemo shot into his spine as well as other things going on, and always, test after test and diarrhea and mouth ulcerations so bad that he couldn't swallow his own saliva, losing his hair. He was 6 foot, was under 100 pounds, and he had to have his parents help him go to the bathroom. And so I was sitting on the bathroom floor talking to him, and I said, you know what, honey? I said, when we get out of here, all we're going to remember is the good times. And he goes, I know, Mommy. He goes, you're right. He goes, you know what else? I go, what, honey? He goes, I'm happy. And I looked at him, and I'm just in awe. I said, what? Because I'm thinking, okay, he's not medicated, so I know that's not the medication
right.
talking.
Right.
You know, like he's high or something. And he goes, no. He goes, you see all this? And he pointed to the IV pole he was hooked up to, and he pointed to the hospital room, and he says, you see all this? He goes, none of that decides my happiness. He goes, only I do, and I'm happy.
Hmm.
And I had tears in my eyes, and I just said, you're my hero. I said, you're just amazing. And he says, well, Mommy, I couldn't do this without you and Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we gave him the strength as he gave us the strength, you know, to be there for one another.
And that is amazing. I mean, you think of how many people spend lifetime studying and practicing and
yeah.
trying to get to that point where,
mm-hmm.
you know, we know that no matter what is going on in our life, that we have, what's that C word, the choice of how we're going to respond and react to it.
Right.
And that is just powerful. And you said there were ways that he, that, you know, it's like, I know sometimes people listening is thinking, well, these poor people, they're parents, and he sounds like a nice kid and stuff. But what I, my understanding from the book and from the stories that you've shared is that he so deeply touched, like the hard-boiled, even hospital staff. You know, it was like people were really in awe of him. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I'll share one story, and then I know Martin has a few quick
okay.
ones. That whenever you went into Andrew's room, he would say, Andrew, how you doing? I'm doing awesome, and it's two thumbs up. What's your pain level? 10. And so one time, one of his
and 10 being the highest, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And so Dr. Grana, one of his doctors, wrote on his chart that he was awesome. And this other nurse practitioner came in that was not his nurse and said, I had to come in here and meet the kid who said he was awesome because she looked at his chart, you know, and saw what was going on. And
right.
he says, you're awesome? He goes, that's right. I'm awesome. And it was just, these people were just blown away that he was and it, always in a very pleasant, happy mood.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely in that way, even with his pain level, like I said, he couldn't swallow his own saliva. You know, and it was very intense for him, but yet he was always awesome.
Right.
And it, like on a day when he told me, how you doing, Mux? I'm doing good. I said, oh, honey. You know, I knew if he said he was doing good, it was a rougher day.
It was a rougher day because it was always yeah. awesome at a pain level 10. Wow.
Yeah.
And Martin,
yeah,
I mean, Martin, what was it that you had wanted to share? I know you, Connie said that you had some stories there as well.
Because he dealt with the doctors more. Because I cried and kicked them out of the room, so then I ended up on the night shift. So he dealt with the doctors
right.
during the day.
Because you're also the mama bear mom. I get it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get out of my room. I don't like what you're saying.
Well, with
right.
Andrew, for the most part, whenever we got together, it was always he was always concerned about his pretty mama and how she was handling it all. Because between him and I, we knew that we had it covered. And he was always concerned about her and how she was dealing with stuff. And it was just everything for him was about how he can change the energy around him. And he used to explain that to me. If I change the energy around me, people who come into that energy will shift. Or if they feel good anyway, there'll be no change.
Right.
And so he was always conscious about shifting the energy around him. And learning the fact that it was okay to be upset as long as you handled it and you processed it. So he learned a lot about processes, and he taught me a lot about processes, that you never stop halfway through a process, you know. You continue to where it goes, you know, where it takes you. And he would teach me that every day. And he'd just say things like that, not saying, here's what I learned today. He would just say, Daddy. And then I'd sit down, and he'd say something. And it would be phenomenal. Just the energy around it would be exactly what I needed when I needed it. And one of my favorite stories, I asked him, I said, dude, seriously, this is for my own well-being, because I want to be like you when I grow up. So this is for my own well-being. How do you stay in this energy? How do you stay in this zone? Because I thought I was very good at it until I had him, you know. And he said, I want to show you something. So he took me outside. He took me next door to the hospital room next door. And there was a little boy in there, Down syndrome. And I said, oh, yeah, he's got Down syndrome. And he said, and he has leukemia, Daddy. And that, for me, still chokes me up. You know, that he was looking at others as well and going, well, okay, so this is what's going on with them. This is how long they've had it. I'm looking at my son. I'm looking at my parents. My parents are always here with me. There's some kids there. Their parents aren't with them, and divorced parents and stuff like that. And he said he was just blessed.
So it's like he was, no matter what was going on with him, his focus wasn't on him and his pain and what was new. It was always, he was so aware of others, and that just, you know, always finding something that his position, how could he not be happy? Because look at how much better off I am. I'm just dealing with leukemia, and I have my beautiful parents. It's like, you know, I just keep feeling sometimes when you talk about him in these stories, it's like sitting at the feet of a master. It's sort of this altered state, surreal experience. And let me ask you, because I hadn't asked you this before, did with clearly him knowing what was going on, that it was serious at this point, was he aware that he was going to be making his transition, or were any of you, or what? Because I know you said it was very fast. It was 4 months.
Even the doctors were shocked. The doctors were very angry that he passed, and it was very sudden because he was scheduled for a transplant, and he had gotten an infection, and the infection, they expected to clear up, no problem, because it wasn't something unusual. They were used to dealing with that, and so everybody was stunned, and Andrew, he was so laser-focused on his well-being, absolutely laser-focused, and I asked him to keep a journal, which he ended up not doing, other than writing down his favorite computer stuff. But this is to give you an idea that when he was getting his first LP, which is a lumbar puncture, which is the needle in your spine, they were taking bone marrow, they were shooting chemo in it, and he says, I'm looking forward to it because it's one step closer to going home. That's how he looked at everything. So the last thing that he said to Martin, he heard he was going to have to be intubated again because he had a small lung bleed, and he was scared because he remembers the last time he was intubated, he was intubated for 4.5 days, and when he came off of that, there were some hallucinations. There was phenomenal teaching, mostly, but there was things, and he didn't want that again. And so Martin explained to him that his lungs needed to expand, and it wouldn't be for very long. And he looked at Martin and goes, okay, Daddy, he said, can I have something to drink? And Martin snuck him some Sprite, and he looked at him and he says, okay, let's do this, and he put his head down. And he was ready to be intubated again. And that was the last thing that he had said. So, no, none of us, not the doctors, not Andrew, I mean, none of us. I think
nobody knew. It was like that total surprise. So let me ask you, because, you know, you had great hope through all this, and then, wow, he's gone. And as much as you know, and as much as with your connection with spirit and all this, you're still grieving parents. It's like, how did you get through that? And I know that he was... That's when you really, I mean, your connection with him was very strong, even when he made his transition right from the get-go. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the one thing that all of this has given Martin and I, as it did Andrew, we had to put into practice what we teach. And as Martin and I were doing that, applying everything that we've always believed and have also taught, Martin and I found it works. We just went back to what we teach and how to look at the bigger picture. And because we have never lost our connection with Andrew, like you know, Martin can explain what he saw when we got the call from the hospital.
Right. Well, Connie, let me ask you for parents that may be grieving that are listening. When you say we had to put into action what we taught, could you give a concrete example? Because here I am thinking everybody's very hopeful. And when I hear that the doctor's even mad, this means it's a total shock. And yeah. I know lots of times that's when people can get very angry at spirit and this doesn't work in their grief. And so can you just give, you know, well, from that point of view, some guidance for parents out there now about how you guys got through that?
From his diagnosis day, yes, I was very angry, and I go through that in the book. But for us, we knew we had to look at the bigger picture. What was this really about?
Okay.
So that's what we kept looking for. This was not just about him having leukemia and leaving. There's a bigger purpose. And okay. We were on a mission to look for that. And, you know, like I told
and,
you, know,
and on moon. Those days as parents, even while you were doing that and wanting to howl at the moon, you know what I mean, or perhaps not even be here anymore, can you talk about both sides of it?
Well, you know, you howl at the moon.
I'm sorry.
There's
I'm
no
serious. You howl at the moon. Go ahead.
You have to. I mean, Martin and I honored our human side, our parental side.
Good.
And we held each other and we cried and we sobbed. You know, we had those moments, and it was really beautiful how Andrew worked with us, that when Martin had a dad moment, I was strong enough to be there to support him, and then when I had a mom moment, just missing my son so much, Martin was there to support me, you know, so it's beautiful the way it
worked. Can you share with the listeners, because you said something interesting, that Andrew was there working with you from the beginning when he made his transition. You said something about it helped you get through your grief.
And Martin and I realize this is a lifelong process. We'll never get over losing the physical presence of him.
Of course.
But for us, because of what we know this is not the end. And as Andrew told me, death is nothing more than a continuation of what has always been.
Mm-hmm.
So it's forcing us to look beyond what is more than we ever have before. And so...
Right.
Martin, tell them what
right, because we get so hung up on our
on
physical form and being in body, and you know, what does it say that we're grieving when someone leaves, and meanwhile, on the other side, they're having a welcome home party.
And
you know, it's like a different birth. But I thought I either read or you told me, Connie, because I know, like when you go through grief, it almost feels like this etheric knife in your chest. And did you share with me something about him actually working on you and like taking?
Oh, yeah.
Can you share that, Connie?
Sure. With Martin being able to see Andrew and hear him, and I could feel him, and I could hear him, but my heart ached like any other parent when you lose, you know, one of the loves of your life, and your children are the loves of your life, and my heart ached, and I did. I told Martin, I'm not staying here and living with this ache the rest of my life. I can't do it. I won't do it.
Right.
And so him and Andrew would. When we would lay down in bed, I could literally feel the energy work being, it felt almost like a gas pump. I could feel it being pumped in, and my body would vibrate. And Martin and Andrew did all this energy work on me every day, at night. And like I told you, I explained to you that Andrew would get platelets. And of course, Andrew now gives me the mucklets to help me because grief eats up. And I couldn't believe, because he passed on a Monday night, and by Friday, the ache in my heart was gone, and it hasn't been back. And it's about, Evie, and if I could say anything to these parents that are going through a tremendous loss, you have to allow yourself to be open to receive, because your children, you know, Andrew is not, I mean, he's a master teacher, but children want to be there to help their parents. We just have to be open to it.
That's right. Okay, thank you. And we'll be back in a moment. We're just going to take a short musical break, and we'll be right back. you are listening to the Psychic Therapist Radio Show on webtalkradio.net. My name is Evie Kane, the psychic psychotherapist. If you want to know more about me or my work, you can find me at eviekane.com. That's eviekane.com. And my amazing and special guests today are Connie and Martin Jordan. And we've been talking, they're phenomenal psychics and mediums. And you can find them at pureheartspace.com. All one word, pureheartspace.com. And the lines are open if you want to call in. You can do that live, toll free, at throughout the rest of the show at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And we're back in Connie. I know the driving force behind the amazing book, which is getting such great press and going into its second printing, called No Regrets. And I understand that it started out a little bit differently and you almost didn't finish it. Can you share with us about that a bit?
Sure. When Andrew was diagnosed, our family, Martin's family, is all in Ireland, and so the only way to keep them abreast of what was going on was to blog about it. And then, as you know, I, being on a couple of different chat rooms of people that knew us, they were very interested in Andrew. So people around the world were literally following us on this journey through the blog. And I was told by a friend, you know, through this process, oh, it needs to be a book. I said, yeah, I'm blogging it. It'll be a book. And then Andrew passed, and then he told me, you still have to write the book. And I said, the ending sucks.
Because you thought it was going to be about the journey of his healing and,
yeah,
you know, really, right, okay.
You know, and I'm like, the hero leaves. I said, I don't want to write a book like this.
The metaphysical comedian doesn't want to tell a sad story here, right?
No, so. No. It's like, no, dude, seriously, I want a happy ending here. And
right. He
said, but Andrew's story needs to be told.
Yeah.
So, well, it's been 3.5 years, and finally a friend who also does publishing offered to help with it. And because I knew there was just so many things that I knew was going to have to go into this book. But I could see, so what I said was, I cannot, for people that didn't know the story, I could not sucker punch them. Because, I mean, Martin and I, as we were going through it before it went to print, we're reading, we're like, he's going to make it. We thought he was going to make it. And
right.
We're reading it, and we lived it, you know. And so that's why in the beginning of the book, I have his actual journey home, what it was like for him from when he left his body, and Martin saw him standing in the hospital room, from when he, as I love how he put it, left the hospital room, which was the moment he passed. And it is such a beautiful story, but I did put that in the beginning of the book because I just didn't want to sucker punch people.
Right.
At the end, I just didn't think it was fair.
Yeah.
But so I knew that his story, because even as I was pulling it together, I was in awe of just the powerful messages and life lessons. It was even good for me to go over it again because I'm like, wow, this is really great stuff.
It is really great stuff. And the name of the book is called No Regrets. And where did that title come from, Connie?
Well, it's funny because that wasn't the original title I was going to use, because after Andrew came off intubation, he said this quote to Martin and I, which was, life is a game I never want to stop playing. I'm like, wow, that's good. But as my publisher was going through it, she says, you know, I think you need to call the book No Regrets. That's what she was getting from it, because Andrew was always about no regrets, about living a life with no regrets. And,
yeah. He,
you know, reaffirmed that after he passed, because anybody, if there's any parents that have dealt with a seriously ill child, you know every day you're making life and death decisions for your child's, you know, health. And after he passed, Martin was, you know, maybe I shouldn't have signed for this, or maybe I should have signed for that, or, you know, and Andrew's like, Daddy, stop. Everything
right.
is as it should be. All is in divine order. No regrets, Daddy. No regrets.
No regrets.
I have no regrets.
That's amazing. It's just amazing to hear the story. And, you know, I'm so touched as you're talking about it with, you know, Martin, here you are as a world-class medium, and you see and give messages. And for you to be standing there as a father and a medium, yeah, seeing your son in spirit, as you say, leaving the hospital room, but he has never left your lives. I mean, it sounds like the connection that you have with him now is every bit as deep and strong, if not stronger, than when he was here. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, the bottom line was he has a habit of putting things into perspective for me. And I was very angry at the beginning. And it's okay to be angry.
Yes.
But if you stay in anger too long, things get disrupted. You know, you've got to sort of channel that anger into some kind of process.
Mm-hmm.
And the process is looking down the road and going, okay, I know I will be well at some point. Let that be my goal. And then just focus on the journey to that goal. But he did say to me when he passed that, well, on the bright side, now you know this stuff is really true.
He had that Irish humor, as we say, don't we?
He got all of that from me, yes.
Oh, wait,
yeah.
I got to tell you what else he said to me. You know, because he told us, Andrew handled everything as far as his service. He told us what to do. And so he said, have a cremation, and then somebody offered to put some of his ashes in a quartz crystal for Martin and I, and then the family wanted it, and we were going to take some of his ashes to Ireland. And as we're discussing this, I hear Andrew says to me, oh, I knew I should have ate more. And I'm like, seriously, dude? He goes, too soon? I'm like, you think? Yeah.
Ah, that's great. So it sounds like to me, even though, you know, you have to go through that grieving process, it's like Andrew's way from the other side of making sure you didn't go down the rabbit hole, never to be seen again, is he uses
right.
humor a lot. Is that been your experience?
Yeah.
Like to say to, it's, you know, like that old moonstruck, snap out of it, your life is going down the toilet. It was like he wasn't going to have none of that. Feelings and stuff, but now it's time for a good laugh.
He's done that. Like when I found out about my granddaughter that was coming in, and I said, you know what, honey, I said, she'll never fill that void, you know, she'll never fill your shoes. And he says, well, Mommy, she'd have to have some pretty mad clown feet to fill my shoes.
So it's like his bright in spirit is so expansive, not being confined by the body, which is, of course, a lesson for all of us. We get so hung up on, even though we, quote, know it, that we're so much more than our physical reality and stuff, we sometimes lose such sight of that. And, you know, I'm really struck with your own lives since his passing, what I know you've been up to and how things have changed. And Martin, you've told me that Andrew has helped you write like 12 songs, and you're playing music to large groups of thousands of people, and haven't known you for a while. I would never have seen that. Can you talk a little bit about that? You have a CD or something, right? That's out?
Yes. Well, one of my passions has always been my music. And as soon as Andrew passed, I wanted to see if I could do anything with my music. I never expected, you know, Andrew to have any kind of a hand here or there.
You mean like you expect as a dad, like a grieving dad, this will be a good outlet and I'll do my music, right? Okay.
I'll do my music and then I'll sort of put it somewhere on a shelf somewhere. But I started getting these words, because I've always been a poet anyway, and I started getting these words verse after verse and finding some old material that I'd written ages ago that I never did anything with, and he just kept pulling them out and pulling them out and pulling them out till all of a sudden I had like 12 songs for a CD. So I decided to sort of pull the CD together, and we did it in one take, all of the songs.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, but it's not really, it's what you look at it, you go, okay, it's not professionally engineered. It's professionally enough engineered because I have my own home studio, but it's like it just had to be how I felt it and how I'd written it. And one of the songs on there is the song No Regrets. And I've never done that song the same way live as it is on that CD. And I did it. I didn't have the music. I just started singing it as soon as I got the words, recorded as soon as I started singing it. Mm-hmm. So what you have on there is the first I heard the music to that particular song, and I sang it as I heard it, which is really pretty interesting. But it plays into the reason for that song, the no regrets, is because we do. We do have all of these regrets because as a species, we are tend to be trained to go for the negative aspect of what's going on with us. You know, why should we sort of go for the positive aspect? I mean, it's always a choice to be negative or positive, and we always decide to go with the negative because of our conditioning.
Right.
But Andrew's idea, because I've been asked that question many times as a medium, you know, what do we need to do in our lives here on this planet? How do we need to live? So I asked Andrew that question. That was one of the two questions. The second question was, who is God? But the question about how we need to live our lives, he said, Daddy, you live your life with no regrets, and you die laughing.
Mm.
And the die laughing part really struck me, because humor and laughter is the highest vibration.
Right.
And whatever's going on with you, no matter what, you need to process first. If you're thinking, oh, how am I going to handle this? Stop. Find something to laugh about first.
Hmm.
And then question how you're going to get through it, or question what you're going to do next.
Especially with tax day being Monday.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, Martin, it sounds like with putting this all together, it's really your life has so expanded. Because I know you've always been a musician, but you're now playing in front of groups of thousands of people and sharing these messages, which is so profound.
Yeah, and
I'm sorry. What was that, Martin? Could you repeat that?
He has other songs for me, and they will come. You know, if you come to see one of our concerts, the songs will be different.
Right.
You know, as I get them, you know, so it's...
Yeah.
It's a process.
But that's powerful. It's like, whoever thought that you'd have your son as a writing partner in spirit and channeling this music? It's awesome. And Connie, I know that you, in addition to spearheading the book, I love what you've done with to honor the day of his passing. It's a worldwide phenomenon, I know. It's international. It's all good day because you wanted to change the energy of that day that he passed to something joyful. And you told me to remind you you can talk a little bit about that. And also there was some story that you had about a woman in Australia.
Yeah, it was when it was coming up on Andrew's first anniversary, I was beside myself. I thought, it cannot be a year that I haven't had my son hug me. And I thought, I'm not going to be able to handle this day. And I'm going to fall apart. And I thought, I have to do something. So I thought, okay, I have to change the energy of that day. So his saying all the time was, it's all good. It's all good. When I would get upset at the hospital, pretty mama, it's all good. So I thought, okay, I'm going to declare it International It's All Good Day. I started to promote it on several different message boards that I had been on. And, that, you know, there's people all around the world. And we were going to be in Laguna Beach with Andrew's girlfriend and a few of another one of his friends and people that we knew. And I thought, we will have a welcome home party. And that's exactly what we did. We had this amazing ceremony on the beach. We, you know, it was just beautiful. Well, I had gotten an email from somebody in Australia that I never met. I had only been on this message board a few months. And she said, I gave a talk about your Andrew in her church in Australia. In front of 200 people, she explained who my son was and what International It's All Good Day was. So the next day on Monday, she's going to the beach with her kids in another town in Australia. She's in this other small town, stops at a store, and buys snacks for the kids for the beach. And as she's leaving, this young girl says, it's all good. And she said, Australian, I was gobsmacked. It stopped me in my tracks. And she said, I had to turn around and ask her, you know, why did you say that? And she says, well, my friend was at church yesterday, and they were talking about this guy named Andrew and how October 22nd is International It's All Good Day.
Wow.
And she said, I couldn't even tell her it was me that gave the talk, because she was in another town. She wasn't even in the same town that she gave the talk in.
It's like such confirmation, affirmation. And, you know, Connie, what I'm thinking is, you know, that's the purpose of this day. And then you think, mm-hmm. here he is working us from the other side about our attitude. Isn't it awesome that there's a now an international every year, It's All Good Day? Talk about smacking us up the side of the head to remember that.
And that's no matter what's going on. And I promote it as it's free. All you have to do is hold a door open for somebody that no matter what happens that day, no matter what happens, if, even if it's something bad, say it's all good because my son can do it while going through aggressive.
Let's just get over our cheap little self for one day and remember this. That is really, really awesome.
No matter what happens, just say it's all good.
Yeah, well, you know, I was wondering if you know, that you know, you have done, each and both of you, a phenomenal job of going through this process and lifting yourselves and people up and the good, the greatness that has come from this with the music, the book, the It's All Good Day. And I know that you're involved with parents and stuff. And I was wondering if you had any other words, you know, as we're starting to wrap up here, specifically for parents, whether they're grieving parents or parents that have the good fortune that their children are still with them. Was there anything that you wanted to share?
Well, for me, absolutely don't ever take one millisecond for granted with your kids, because you're not, you know, as I've learned, you're only guaranteed this moment, present moment awareness. That's the only thing we're guaranteed. And we knew that anyway, and we loved our life, and we were very appreciative. But nothing brings it home like being in the hospital with your child, knowing that the next moment may not be as good as this one right now.
Right.
And for one, parents that have lost a child, you know, somebody that my daughter works with lost her son a few years before Andrew from a hiking accident. And she says, I wish my Matt would give me signs like your Andrew does. I said, he does. If you have a child on the other side, be open to the signs they are absolutely sending you. Feel those hugs and acknowledge those signs, and you would be surprised how much more that you're going to get and how much more you will feel and how much more connected you will feel to your child, because they're there. They're right there with you, still loving you. You know, and you can have a new relationship. It won't be like the old one, but you can have a new relationship, because, as I said, my son didn't come here to fade away, and I was going to be sure of that.
Thanks, Connie. And Martin, was there anything that you wanted to add?
Connie pretty much wrapped it up, but the bottom line is, You just have to want, you got to want it, and you have to believe it.
Yeah.
So that's the key. That opens the channel.
And the kids that are in an Andrew's age group are pretty special. That, you know,
yes,
that
they are.
That there are, you know, that we could talk about, they get misdiagnosed, there's all sorts of things happening that they really are quite gifted and have a lot to offer. And I still think it seems like Andrew's pushing you guys to even expand even more. I know that we were talking about, you have plans to do these evenings with, who is they, talking to our dearly departed friends and relations, or mediumship demonstrations. And they sound awesome, because it sounds like you get to open up with some metaphysical comedy, Connie. And then Martin can be doing messages from the floor, and then also music. It sounds phenomenal. And I know that you're going to be having a national tour, but you're kicking it off in Florida. Is that right? And is it Sarasota?
Yes.
When is that going to be happening?
May 5th.
Yeah,
so anybody who's listening from the Florida area, that if you want to know about these, they, whatever they're going to be calling them, these lovely gallery or salon evenings with Connie and Martin, you can find out about them at pureheartspace.com. Shoot them an email there. And I can't thank you enough for your bright and shining and loving presence today on this show. And, you know, it's just been wonderful. And I don't know, Martin, if Andrew has anything that he wants to add as we close up. You know, it occurred to me he's probably in your living room or wherever we're talking from today. Is there anything that you want to share from him?
Well, Andrew, he just wants everybody to know that the way things are going on the planet right now, not to be focusing on that, but to be focusing on where you personally want to go, where you personally want to see your life going, and don't be looking around, gauging where you think you're going on what you see. You know, it's your life, it's your energy. You've got your own guides.
Yeah.
Just focus on you.
It's like managing yourself and the energy around you.
Absolutely. You manage yourself, the energy around you will shift.
That's
and
right.
And that ripple effect.
Yeah.
That is so beautiful. Thank you.
It's all about butterflies, Betty. It's all about butterflies.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Andrew. And thank you, Martin and Connie. And for our listeners, you can reach them at pureheartspace.com. And as I mentioned, their book, No Regrets, is going into a second printing. That's phenomenal. And they can get the book at the website, pureheartspace.com. That's correct?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the place to get it. I know it's on Amazon, but if you order it through pureheartspace.com, you get a super-duper autographed copy and a free ticket to their these salons that they're going to be running nationwide where they're starting off, where you'll be able to get the book and also come to an evening that for a mediumship, psychic mediumship demonstration and get to hear Connie's raucous metaphysical comedy, messages from the floor, and this beautiful music that Martin's been working in collaboration with Andrew. And Martin, did you say that there was a CD of that music? Is it available?
Yes, there
for
is.
What is it called, and where can they get that?
The songs on the CD, the song CD is called Only Love Is Real.
Only Love Is Real.
Only Love Is Real, and that's on Pure Heart Space. You can get everything. Our shopping cart is on there, so you can get all of our.
That's great. One stop shopping at pureheartspace.com. It's right. And also, you know, we've mentioned several times, Martin is a phenomenal world class medium, and he does private readings. And you offered something really generous, Martin, for listeners of the Psychic Therapist Show. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, anybody that sort of calls me for a session, it could be a healing session, healing grief, deceased loved one, whichever, that they will get, give them a 15% discount off my original.
That's awesome. And all they have to do is mention that they're a listener from the Psychic Therapist Show. That is so very kind and generous and always in complete alignment with who each and both of you are. I thank you so very much for being here today.
Thank you, too.
Thank you, Abby, for the opportunity.
Sharing your love and light and sharing Andrew's love and light. Well, of course, I know he's sharing it on his own, but thank you so much for all of you for being here today.
You're
welcome. Wow, such an inspiration. You know, I'm so awestruck that someone who, you know, chronologically was 16 years old had the wisdom of the ages, truly a master teacher. The stories that are in that book will blow your mind. You know, that saying that out of the mouths of babes comes words of wisdom has never been more completely shown to me in that way. Thank you, Andrew, for reminding us what a gift it is to have our life and that it's all good and that we always have the ability to choose happiness each and every day, no matter what our circumstances are. You know, when I think of Andrew, I'm reminded of JFK's inaugural address. You remember years and years ago where he said, "And let the word go forth that the torch has been passed to a new generation." And in this case with Andrew, I feel like Andrew passed the torch of a new generation to us with the reminder to carry it forward each day in our life and share it with others, to let our light burn brightly, to let ourselves be that beacon of hope and happiness to those who need it the most. Thank you, Andrew. Godspeed and God bless you. And until we all meet again, Make it a great week, and let your love and your light brightly shine.